Okay, we'll open up the committee to hear public testimony on Senate Bill 202. Senate Bill 202. Is there any proponents of Senate Bill 202? Where's Barb at?
Right up
here. Barb, you're on.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, any corrections or additions to the minutes?
Move approval.
Second. Motion made by Michael, second by Hennings to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved. Now we will take public testimony on Senate Bill 202.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Judiciary Committee. This is a committee that I've served on before and have truly enjoyed. I am Barb Everest, and I represent District 14 in Sioux Falls. And I bring you Senate Bill 202 in response to a constituent call. And my constituents are here today and would like to help put faces with a bill on grandparenting. When they called, they told me about their particular story and also their concern about going before the courts to handle grandparent visitation. In part, it was because of a case I was aware of, and that is a U.S. Supreme Court case called Traxel v. Granville. And in the Traxel decision, which was handed down in June of this last year, the U.S. Supreme Court found a Washington grandparent visitation statute to be too general. What they found was a fundamental right that deserved strict scrutiny on the part of the court for and a compelling state interest to interfere with a parent-child relationship. But if I may just take a moment of the committee's time, I will tell you, too, what the court basically said about the grandparents' role in a child's life. The demographic changes of the past century make it difficult to speak to an average American family. The composition of families vary greatly from household to household. While many children may have two married parents and grandparents who visit regularly, many other children are raised in single-parent households. In 1996, children living with only one parent accounted for 28% of all children under age 18 in the United States. And they cite this, the Commerce Bureau of Census data. Understandably, in these single-parent households, persons outside the nuclear family are called upon with increasing frequency to assist in the everyday tasks of child-rearing. Excuse me. In many cases, grandparents play an important role. For example, in 1998, approximately 4 million children, or 5.6% of all children under the age of 18, lived in the household of their grandparents. And again, that data was brought before the court. The court used a Bureau of Census data. What the court did in striking down the general nature of just the best interests of the child standard in grandparent visitation was to cause a ripple, I think, across the United States in an examination of every state statute. Obviously, our statute is before you in Senate Bill 202, the current law, and what I have chosen to do is to try to amend 25-452 to encompass a couple situations. I didn't do this alone. What I depended on heavily in the language of the changes proposed in Senate Bill 202 came directly from the dicta of the Traxel case in the U.S. Supreme Court. Although, of course, they didn't rule what they would find in the future as an appropriate statutory language, they did strongly indicate what would be necessary in another statute that would appear before them. Also, I have the State Bar testifying today, and I think Mr. Barnett can help answer some of the legal questions behind this case, if you have them. And I ran this by a law school professor of mine, Professor Barron, at the University of South Dakota School of Law. And he is one who also had made some suggestions for the language that you see in front of you. And he said, too, that it looks like Senate Bill 202 has utilized language which was tacitly approved by the plurality opinion in the Toxville v. Granville case, which was decided in June. This case is quite significant and appears to render our existing statute, SDCL 25-4-52, as unconstitutional. The new language which is found in Senate Bill 202 is quite similar, if not identical, with language from the main statute cited and summarized in the opinion. Then I went on to add language that he suggested when he reviewed the proposed language to Senate Bill 202. And so I'm hoping that this would indeed meet constitutional muster and the blessings of this particular committee. I would try to answer any questions. I also know that there are people following me who would be willing to do that as well.
I don't have any questions after all the testimony is in.
Thank you.
Is there further proponents of Senate Bill 202?
Morning, Mr. Chairman. Tom Barnett, State Bar, South Dakota. I'm here today to support the enactment of Senate Bill 202. The almost virtually every state in the South, in the United States, has some statute recognizing the important role that grandparents play in the lives of their grandchildren. This state has had a long policy public policy in favor of maintaining the right of contact between grandparents and their grandchildren. The problem we face is that as of June last year, our grandparents in this state have been denied the standing in court to raise the issue. This does not take away or interfere with the parents' rights. It does not give unfettered access of grandparents to the grandchildren to the detriment of the nuclear unit. What it does do, if enacted, is give them arguably a basis upon which to go to court if their contact with the grandchildren are being denied by either parent or guardian. That's also an important aspect to keep in mind, because we're not talking just about a controversy between grandparents and the parent of the child. We're also talking about those situations where the grandchild is in the custody of a guardian, and without some sort of statutory basis for it, the grandparents have no standing. Standing is a word of art in the legal field, which means do you have a right to get your case before the court? So it's a very important issue. I don't need to go into all the facts in the Troxell decision. What I can tell you is that in that case, and I think it was driven strongly by the facts in that case, the Washington court granted very, very extensive visitation to the grandparents, which had the impact of very much interfering or significantly interfering with the lives of the parent and child, including, the activities, extracurricular activities, and so forth. And in effect, bad facts make bad law is a famous phrase that we all hear, and that's what got it to the U.S. Supreme Court. The language that Senator Evers quoted makes it clear that the Supreme Court recognizes the very important role that grandparents play in the lives of their grandchildren, but that they must have the court must have some sort of statutory basis and guidelines upon which to balance the competing interests when grandparents and parent of child aren't able to agree or get along. I can't guarantee you that the language here is constitutional. There's a dispute out there. The Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, will not, in its decision, expand its opinion to cover things that are not properly before it. A factual situation that's been fully briefed, and that's why their decisions tend to be narrow. However, the dicta in it which Senator Everest referred to, gives it a clear indication that somewhere out there is some appropriate language which legislatures may enact that create the type of necessary balances and standards for a court to utilize in trying to do what's fair and reasonable vis-a-vis the parent and child, yet also recognize that important role that grandparents play in the lives of their grandchildren. I'm satisfied, as is Professor Barron, that this is arguably sufficient to meet that constitutional requirement, and I urge the enactment, and I'll be happy to answer questions.
Any further proponents of Senate Bill 202? Any further proponents? Have you signed in as a...
Yes, I have.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Cindy Petzold, and 7.5 years ago, I lost my daughter in an automobile accident. She had a 4-month-old baby, and I've struggled to stay in her life. I fought through the courts. I have nothing to stand on anymore. It's been a difficult situation for me. All I want to do is love her, spend time with her, and enjoy her. I don't want to interfere in her home life at all. I've read the Troxel case. Up until that point, up until last August, I have been in her life. I read the Troxel case after that came down, and it's a real similar situation because their son committed suicide. My daughter was killed in an automobile accident. I guess to me, somehow or another, there's got to be a way for me to stay in my granddaughter's life. We love each other. We have so much fun together. That's what grandparenting is. I don't have my daughter to go to and say, can I see my daughter or my granddaughter? She's gone. I don't want to cause any problems in her life whatsoever other than just laugh with her and love her. That's all. But that's not possible. That's not been possible. I have gotten her for 3 hours for dinner here and there, and through a court order, I have her every 3 months for the full weekend. And boy, is it a fun-filled weekend. We laugh, we giggle. We plant geraniums, paint Easter eggs. We go to the apple orchard. Those are things that enhance her life. I don't know, you know, I hate to have to come here and say, help me, but I need your help. I've got to stay a part of her life. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions we'll ask after all the witnesses are in. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Any other proponents of Senate Bill 202?
Thank you. I'm former Senator Roberta Rasmussen, and I served on the judiciary a couple of years ago for 6 years. I'm glad for this opportunity to speak on this Bill 202. I am a grandparent, and I have nine grandchildren, and I have the opportunity of being with them all the time. They live approximately less than 5 miles from our home. My grandchildren go to the same school that I went to and my husband went to. And so they come to our home after school quite a bit. They're there on Saturdays quite a bit. And we have the opportunity to going to all of their sports events. And so they're a big part of our lives. I can't imagine being denied the opportunity of being part of our grandkids' lives, of loving them and taking care of them and doing things for them. They definitely are a joy. And so I, with the amendment, and of course we all know that in the judiciary we all always have to keep in mind what is in the best interest of the child. That's the key note to all of the legislation that we do for children, is what's in their best interest. And I firmly believe that having loving grandparents part of their lives is definitely in the best interest of the child. So I am in support of this bill, and I hope that you will pass this bill out of this committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 202?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Shirley Eastnick. I'm a volunteer lobbyist for AARP. On behalf of our 84,000 plus members in South Dakota, we wish to go on record in support of Senate Bill 202. Our membership includes people over 50 years and over, and there are always a few snickers in the crowd when we say that, because a lot of people don't think they're qualified to be members of ours. But in that group of people over 50 years of age, there are many grandparents, and we have to be in support of any legislation that would allow grandparent-grandchild visitation. All 50 states have statutes granting visitation rights if considered to be in the best interest of the child. As I look at this bill, I can relate to the grandmother that spoke before. I realize that if one of my daughters would die and her husband would remarry, I would like to think that I'd have visitation rights with my grandchildren. Of course, the line is in there, as long as it did not interfere with the parent-child relationship. We all would have to hope that we'd be in good graces with that step-parent. We have to keep in mind, in this day and age of so many divorces and second marriages, that relationship with grandparents as the extended family and the support system for the children is probably more important than ever. Perhaps one child said it best with this simple statement: grandparents are the bandages to our lives. They give us hope for tomorrow. Please support Senate Bill 202.
Thank you. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 202?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'll be brief. Rex Haig for the South Dakota Trial Lawyer Association. We would support Senate Bill 202. As has already been pointed out, the Supreme Court has addressed this issue, and I think our statute clearly at this point would meet with a lot of difficulty based on that case, and I think some clarification of it or further expansion of it to set forth a test that would be appropriate would be good, and therefore we support this. On a day-to-day basis, our membership does see this issue come before it. I've had personally three or four cases, and thankfully it's just taken a letter to the parents to say that we'll be filing a petition for visitation if they don't loosen up and start granting some of those rights. And where we see it typically is a couple will start fighting, and as they fight, they take that fight into their parents or to the grandparents, and all of a sudden it's used as a tool. The children are used as a tool to stop, to put leverage on the parent or grandparent. And as I say, typically, you know, you can usually, by making reference to the statute and the ability to do that, usually will cure it. But a lot of times it doesn't, as been testified earlier, too, with regard to this bill. So for those reasons, we would ask for your support.
Thank you. Any further proponents of Senate Bill 202? Any further proponents? If not, is there any questions from the committee to any of the witnesses?
Mr.
Representative Michaels.
Question of Senator Everest, please. Just from a legal basis, it's very quick. So many times, as you know, Senator, we draft presumption language with the word rebuttable. Was there any forethought as to why there was no rebuttable presumption? Because, of course, Cindy has got to be one of the greatest grandmothers, save maybe other people in the room. Roberta, I know, is a good one, but there are bad ones. And obviously there's a description there. Like, well, Representative Broderick is not a bad grandparent, but there are, yes, sir, but there are issues I think we've all dealt with where there are questions, and obviously I like the court oversight and just would like your views on that.
It was just a determination on how far to and how tight to write the statute, whether to make it a presumption or rebuttable presumption. The statute that was struck down in the Traxel decision was broad. It was the language was any person at any time, could be granted visitation when it was in the best interest of the child. In this case, it was applied to grandparents, as we've determined already, and it was, in fact, very similar to the constituents that appeared before you. So it's, besides using the dicta of the court, there was really no framework for me to work in. Mm-hmm. The presumption language came from, and maybe I can find it here. I think it... It actually, the main statute is the if in the best interest of the child, quote, and would not significantly interfere with any parent-child relationship. And then they go on to talk about Rhode Island statute, that statute would probably be constitutional in dicta. The grandparent would rebut under those circumstances by clear and convincing evidence that a parent's decision to refuse grandparent visitation was reasonable. And I did think about using that form of rebuttable presumption, but I also think clear and convincing evidence is a terribly high standard, so I just left it as a simple presumption.
Any further questions of any of the witnesses?
To me, in that the first statement, when it says if that visitation would not significantly interfere with the child and the parent relationship, would make it so that it they could put in testimony to rebut that presumption that we have down in the second page.
Yes, and I do think that the court strongly said that there is a fundamental right in that parent-child relationship, and I don't think that would be an undue burden. If it was going to interfere, that wouldn't be in the best interest of the child, and it should be overcome on the part of the grandparent.
Any further questions of any of the witnesses? Any further questions? If not, is there any opponents of Senate Bill 202? Any opponents to Senate Bill 202? Now we'll close the committee from public testimony for committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Michaels.
I move to pass on Senate Bill 202.
Motion made and seconded on the due pass motion. Any discussion on the due pass motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Michaels.
If there is anything we can do from a lot of experiences that I've had, number of people, I come from a broken home, as Roberta knows, and that if it wasn't for my grandfather, I would probably be in a different institution than the House of Representatives. So, thank you.
I know. I also, since I have 12 grandchildren, I can sympathize with all you people out there. I think there's a different relationship too, because some of the beauty of being a grandparent is what those children can do for you also. So I think there's an interacting relationship that we have to preserve. And I've had this experience in my own family where there was a divorce, and I'm quite sure that one of my little granddaughters have substituted me for their father, and we have a great bonding, and I just would I don't know what I would do if I couldn't see those grandchildren. So I think it's a good motion. And any other comment? Secretary, call the roll.
Representative Bartley?
Aye.
Gillespie?
Aye. Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Holly?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Senate Bill 202 passed on the vote of 13 yeas, no nays, and no green passed on to the House. Any other motions?
Move consent.
Which made by Michael on consent is or second?
Aye.
Second by Linda.